Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Good morning. It is Viewpoint. It is Tuesday, the 30th of January. Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program with a panel of invited guests where we tackle the subjects of the day. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. And the Facebook page, should you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official. On today's show, we're going to be looking at Brexit, going to be looking at the situation in Catalonia. We may have time to go as well, looking at the situation or the reports back from the summit in Davos as well, and perhaps looking at the drought situation in South Africa. Cape Town, the first major city to be threatened with running out of water in less than 90 days. Joining me in the studio today are former ABC correspondent Nathan Thomas. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Giles.
Back and freelance journalist and regular contributor to the Daily Telegraph, Kate Mulvey. Kate, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
And as always, our experts and our experts on all things constitutional in Catalonia, Claudio De La Torre. Good morning to you, Claudio.
Good morning, Giles.
952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. No, it's not. Studio at TRE.com is the studio. Sorry, start again. Studio at TRE.radio. I will get the hang of this new thing at some point in 2018. Is the email Talk Radio Europe official, the official website. But we're going to kick off with the continuing saga, the continuing outrage that has come on the expose in the FT that happened last week on the President's Club dinner and the response to it. And by all accounts, the dinner was an old-fashioned type of evening where some of the guests behaved in a lecherous and unacceptable manner. It was flashed around the UK media. FT correspondents posing as hostesses were at the dinner. A lot of money was raised for charity, but it was the way that the women were groped, lecherously at, leered at, and it forced several charities to return the money that was raised. Many of them saying it was unacceptable behaviour, and we were back to the dinosaur days of the 60s and 70s. I'll start with Nathan on this one. Do you think the response was overzealous or hysterical?
To a great extent, yes. I mean, I don't know why anybody was surprised that this happened. I mean, it was a great story. The journalist who went in and did it and exposed it, because it's the kind of thing most people, you don't even pay any attention to. You're not aware that it exists. But things like this happen. I mean, it is part of life, whether you like it or not. I think one thing that may have happened, and I don't know, and I have, in the reading I've done and just things I've heard, I don't know what the President's Club was. They shut it down, supposedly. But I don't know whether it was really a club that people joined and did anything, or whether it was just, as many of these things are, a somebody or a small group of people with very good intentions formed a charitable organization to have. And I don't know, this may be their only event of the year. I don't know. But to do events, there's no members or anything else, but the President's Club invites you to this big gala, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People go to it. It's been going on apparently for 30-some years. If you've been to one, you have some idea of what it is. Apparently it was a men-only banquet, which seems very strange as a charity event, but who knows how many of these things are going on wherever, just because if you're not involved in it, you're not aware of it. You may have heard of the President's Club, but and they rose, you know, they raised X million dollars for this charity or that charity, and that's the extent of what most people know about it. So this was opening something up to people who had no realization of what it is. The reaction, I think, is as a lot of reactions are to things that people didn't know about. It, you know, swings way far to in one direction, and I think it will recover from that. I mean, this one has been closed down. It was in many ways an ugly event for some of the people. I mean, I saw it.
The real thing that's a question here is the rise of the new Puritanism of women who, words that are being bandied around, very disturbing, abusive. This is the new climate without really thinking about it, because the idea of women selling their assets or showcasing their assets, whether it is pole dancing or hostessing, here is something that has been going on since the beginning of time.
Exactly. That's what I say. This is, you know, why are we so shocked about this? It's a slightly different version
of it. The reason is because what I call shoddy thinking. And it's shoddy thinking by the politicians as well, who have now sacked people going to the club. Now, to sack somebody is to say that is gross misconduct. There was no misconduct. And one of the things we've forgotten, because when I was 17, I went to get a job as a hostess and thought, well, should I go? Let's see what it's like, me and my sister. The minute we got to the place and the minute we were told what we were going to wear, we walked out. They have said that the hostessing industry has now, there are no more jobs. And what the people have missed, these hostesses knew what they were getting into. Firstly, because the term hostess, they're not waitresses at McDonald's. The dress code was wearing black sort of like corseted dresses up to their lady garden, as they say, cleavage hanging out, and same colour underwear. Now, if you really don't want to get involved in these kinds of things, you don't go to it, or you walk out, because they didn't shut the doors and never let them out. So again, what we're doing here, and this is the big and very dangerous mistake, is we're seeing women as victims of toxic masculinity. If you play the game that these women play, which is, I am going to get your attention by showcasing my assets, you're entering into the interplay between the male gaze and female as object of desire.
Now, in the fallout from this, Labour MP Jess Phillips branded the event a lady zoo and said women were bought as bait for rich men. The auction prizes offered at the dinner included trips to strip clubs and plastic surgery for the wife. Undoubtedly offensive, but were they really worthy of so much agonised debate? Said an article in the Times. Even Theresa May got involved. Let's go live to the lines. 952784000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles Brown. It's Jason speaking.
Morning, Jason.
Oh, my, what a world we're living in. Everything is psychoanalyzed, and it's all PC gone mad, isn't it? It seems like we're sleepwalking into some kind of future which is so self-conscious and bleeding, well, miserable, you know. What happened to a bit of fun in life and stuff? Everything's becoming so so analysed, don't you think? You know, in hindsight as well, you know, people look at things in hindsight without the context. It happens in a whole plethora of things these days. What kind of world is this? Does everybody think it's PC gone mad and it's gone too far and it's time to turn back the tide a bit? Because it's about being free as well, isn't it?
Nathan?
I think he's right. It is an extreme reaction to something that is not really all that shocking. And just listening to interviews for people who were there and people who knew about it and everything, I mean, just a couple of points. A lot of people said they had no idea that there was groping or anything else going on. Yes, they had gone to a dinner, and, you know, yes, there were pretty hostesses there and so on, but they sat at their table, talked to the people at their table, bid on whatever they bid on, and went home. And, you know, that's not to say that it wasn't happening. But it, you know, it wasn't like a mass, you know, a mass riot of sexual activity and so on. I mean, it was...
The point about this is that it was a private event, and I think that's been missed. Nobody was forced to either go to the event or work at the event. As I said, because they were called hostesses, they knew what they were getting into. The fact that, as you said...
Well, and
the undercover reporter kind of got... They basically got a news coup, which is great, a scoop, that's fine. But the point about... is the reaction is because of what's happened on social media with Harvey Weinstein and Me Too, and it needs proper thinking that this outrage that splurges, this emotional kind of hysteria, should not be allowed to affect any kind of legislation or proper authority in terms of sacking politicians. That is the main point.
Giles, can I intercede?
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely barmy, you know. They it's like a witch hunt almost these days. They ruined the life of Dave Lee Travis, you know. It's like it's just gone absolutely bonkers, you know. There needs to be some decorum and rationale. I mean, where are we going to end up? You know, will this be such a thing as freedom if everything is so totalitarian almost. That's my last point, really. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. We're going to go live to the lines as well. Good morning, Cooley. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. It's Sharon Reach, Union Radio from Alicante.
Good morning, Sharon.
Morning, Giles. Would you agree, Giles, that Viewpoint should be a broad church?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Last week, somebody sent an anonymous, venomous email to Viewpoint targeting me. Now, I think that when this happens, they should not have that read out because they're cowards. They don't deserve to have their... If they're cowardly enough to send an email that's anonymous, they should not have it read out. But anyway, that's another point of view. My point of view on this is, putting the other side of it, isn't it about time we had darts matches with women darts players? Isn't it about time we had women, a secret societies for women with scantily clad men knocking around? And I also want to thank all those men who are taking pay cuts because they're wonderful, people like Andrew Marr, because they're in the same... We're 2018 now. We're in the same job, doing the same job at the same level. We had a lady, a BBC World Service correspondent, resigned because of an equal pay thing. And it is linked. You may say these are two separate ideas, two separate things that don't need to be connected. They're not. Women are still very much in an inferior position in the world, certainly in the world of work. And I would, if we had an equal society, we would be having darts matches for women with scantily clad men knocking around. And whilst I take Kate's point, I do think there's the other side to look at. We're still way behind in men in many ways, so I think we have to see both sides of it. Thank you.
Let's go to the other line as well. Thank you much for that point. 952-78-4000. Good morning, Cooley. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's John from Los Belice.
Good morning, John.
Morning to you. Just the first thing I'd like to point out to Sharon is that it wasn't me who sent that email, but that's by the by.
Right.
I heard it, and it's bloody vicious. It was nasty. What I would like to point out is, and what I find strange, and coming from a city boy and dealing internationally in Europe, this was a pretty tame event, particularly with the European bankers. But what the hell was the FT doing? Doing a sort of a ex-News of the World story, beyond belief. Also, you have this dippy journalist, female journalist, who's actually gone in there as a hostess, skimpily dressed. How do we know she wasn't instructed by her journalist boss to throw herself about and get some reaction? I'd like a bit of an inquiry into her. I mean, these events go on, but when it gets to the Labour Party taking this guy down, who only attended the place. I mean, it was quite ridiculous and quite ludicrous, but I can't understand the FT getting involved in this type of story. I can't see the point.
Okay, but presumably it could be because it's a business function, I would imagine. Then, John, we're going to the other line as well. Busy this morning on Viewpoint. 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Felix here.
Good morning, Felix.
Hello. Morning. This is the crisis of feminism, because I was just listening to Sharon there on this subject, yet I never heard one word from Sharon during the many years when English girls in places like Rotherham were being raped by Muslim.
Right. We're going to try and keep this. We're going to try and keep this not personal. No, no. Hang on.
Please do not censor. Do not censor.
I'm afraid I am going to censor. There you go. Right then. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio Talk Radio. If you're going to call in, please don't make it personal and try and keep to the subject we're talking about. We're talking about nothing to do with the Rotherham accounts. We're talking about the reaction to the Dorchester President's Club. We'll dive live to the lines as well. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Jazz. Brian.
Morning, Brian.
Los Feliches. I must confess, I do sympathise a little bit with what John from Los Feliches has just said. I mean, these girls, first of all, they go to these functions. A lot of them come from agencies. They semi-know. I'm not, condoning it at all. Quite the contrary. But they know what they're up to. They know that these idiots, when they've had too much drink inside them... I've seen it at functions and conferences when I work for an extremely large company. It does happen. And it's done a little bit, you know, with the tongue-in-cheek. But the trouble is that when you get a superimposed there, somebody who basically is there to just literally look for trouble and hope that they see it, even possibly at the time promoting it, you know, like the press, I think it's awful. I think it's all gone far too far. If a girl doesn't like that, and I'm not condoning it at all, I condemn it, but if a girl doesn't like being possibly in an atmosphere where this kind of thing goes on, then she shouldn't volunteer to go there and be paid for it.
Thank you very much for that. All right, let's go to our panel there. Nathan.
Well, one thing, don't blame the messenger. Just because they did the story and made it public, it's, you know, what we're dealing with is the reaction to a fact that they brought to public attention, whether you care about it or not. If you don't care about it, you, like anything else, you read the story and you forget about it. But a couple of points on the whole thing. I mean, again, just listening to the interviews and to the reaction to the whole thing, as Kate was saying, a lot of these women knew, most of them, how naive would you have to be to not realize if you were told to show up at an event, you know, wearing black underwear and high heels and here's a skimpy dress for you to wear, the kind of event that you are at. And if you don't want to, okay, you don't do that. But how many of those, and listening to interviews, I heard a number of people say, well, many of the girls have done this year after year after year. So, you know, how innocent can you be if this is the fourth year that I've done it? The other thing with people who are invited to this, I mean, as a charity event, a lot of public figures and people with money get on lists and they get invited to all sorts of things that they don't necessarily know much about. And it's a good thing to go to. It's a charity. This is something I think that's been going on for 30-some years. They've raised millions of dollars. So, all right, I'll go, and so-and-so has a table, and we'll go and be there. And whether, you know, they are even aware, as some of them said, of any of this other stuff going on, and to, you know, fire people because they were at this banquet, very often, you know, you go to these charity events and you have no idea what you're going to.
And we've got more calls on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Thanks for holding. Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Morning. I was reluctant to call in on this one because, as John mentioned, this is news of the world tittle-tattle, and I'm surprised Felix did after pointing out that we tend to keep going over the tittle-tattle rather than the real deal all the time. But after what Sharon said, in the darts world at the moment, they're actually getting rid of the scantily clad girls. And I've someone who watches the UFC, and I'd like to see those girls taken out of the ring as well, because it serves no purpose. And the girls who are fighting in the ring are far superior in fitness and brains and everything else. So, going back to this business, Sharon saying, when are the women going to get? I used to own a security company, and I provided door staff at pubs and clubs across Britain, and I struggled to get guys to work on a ladies' night. Really did, because it was horrendous. Now, if we were expecting a load of gypos to come in and tear the place apart, my blokes would always turn up. But you try getting them turn up on a ladies' night, simply because they were abused from the time they got there to the time they left by a load of drunk women watching a male stripper wreck the toilets, wreck the room. Never seen anything like it in my life. That's the way women behave when there's a man around, scantily dressed. So it works both ways. And also these hostesses, I've been in at door staff provided to these type of things before. The tips those girls get from those guys in the city are unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable, and that's why they do it. It's not for the wages, it's for the tips. Their tips would be 10 times what they got paid in wages, and that's the way of the world, I'm afraid. But we are getting this, like Jason said, everything has to get analysed, and there's a witch hunt going on all the time, and we're always comparing males and females, when we're different. We're completely different, but we're all animals at the end of the day, and we all behave wrong, every one of us. And no woman is ever going to get equality with a man until she can gain 4 stone, lose her hair, wear a pair of Speedos, walk down the beach, and still think they're God's gift. So that's about all I can say on that.
Thank you for that one, Peter. Thank you. All animals at the end of the day. One more caller there, live on the line. Good morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Morning, panel. It's Gray. How are you?
Morning, Gray. Very well, thank you.
Good. I would say I feel sorry for the kids nowadays because we're living in this massively sterile environment where the slightest misdemeanour is scrutinised. I'll give you an example. If we went to a function and there was a comedian on, and that comedian told a racist or a homophobic joke, are we responsible for that as the audience? Most of the people who attended that dinner went there with good intentions, either to raise money for charity or to market, to network, you know, with people. A lot of people there, there's a lot of high-powered business people to network. They may have been completely unaware of what was going on, showed no interest in whether the girls were walking around with very little clothing or whatever. And unfortunately, all the millions that were raised from the charities is toxic because the charities don't want to touch it. And I think, unfortunately, this stems back to the Jimmy Savile stuff, which was horrendous. And we've gone forward now, and then you can start to look at some of the stuff that's happening now, and it's so diluted. You know, maybe even people, what's the young lad's name? He's not so young now. Alec Jones, who was suspended from the BBC over the Christmas period for telling, I think, maybe a slightly inappropriate joke. He put his hands up to it, apologised, and, you know, in the workplace, that's gone on for years, and it's, you know, I'm not saying that a lot of what happened in the workplace in the 70s and 80s was right. I witnessed that. But we're living in such a sterile environment now that the kids that are coming through the workplace, although they're kind of schooled in it to a certain extent, don't know what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. And I think, and for the older generation of men, they certainly don't know what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. But sometimes I think we need to let stuff run its course, and, you know, stuff like the Gentleman's Club and all this kind of thing, you know, and eventually we'll kind of wean out naturally rather than demonising it.
Wean them out naturally rather than demonising it. Thank you for the comments there, Gray. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Claudio, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well.
Well, I do think there is a certain level of hysteria with all of this. I'm not saying that victims should be ignored or doubted, and I do condemn sexual harassment in all its forms, but that doesn't mean that we can start accusing people without any proof, or there's been a kind of witch hunt where people have just not been able to defend themselves, and some accusations are extremely serious, and of course they have to be properly dealt with and investigated. But I do think it's going to an extreme point, as one caller was saying, for example, with the hostesses that are scantily clad. There are some feminist groups who say that they should not allow scantily clad hostesses in sports events, that models in bikinis in billboards should be banned because it's sexualization of women's bodies. There's been many examples of feminists. For me, they're extremist feminists, because telling other women what they can do with their bodies or not is also a form of... it's not abuse, let's say, but they're interfering in their lives. I think if these models, for example, want to pose scantily clad, or these hostesses consent to that, no one can stop them from doing it because it's their choice and their bodies. And the feminists who come up and say that this is a gross sexualization and that it shouldn't be allowed, they are basically telling these women what work they're in, they should be doing and what not. So I say that personal freedom should prevail if these women do these jobs. Of course, they need to do it in a safe environment, but if they wish to be scantily clad models, pole dancers, prostitutes, you name it, it's their choice and no one else can interfere with what they choose to do with their body.
I think absolutely you touched on some good points there. First of all, what's happening is this rise of the third wave feminists who are sort of airing their dirty linen on social media, which is really an outpouring of sort of emotional angst, which has no place to be then taken up by the authorities and turned into reasoned, proper comment. They started with Me Too, which, as you said, sexual harassment, a criminal offence, absolutely disgraceful. It then went on to, oh, I was groped at a party. And this has turned into some kind of words, this is disturbing, I was abused. And they talk about personal truth. It is my personal truth. I was abused when he put a hand on my knee. No, you may feel that. That does not mean it is abuse. So when we're talking about the witch hunt, these men have been condemned without jury, without a trial, etc., etc. And this is, again, a turning point, the president's dinner. And one thing has been missed, that these feminists have missed, is that the idea of the women having rights to be a hostess and not to be groped, to go and wear cleavage-showing dresses, shorts that go up to their buttons, without anything happening, surely is unilateral. Because if you have rights, you also have responsibilities. The idea of the male and female interplay between a woman looking sexy and a male responding is not something that needs to be outlawed. And surely, if you do not want any leering, these 20-year-olds now dress in very skimpy clothes, surely you must ask yourself, well, therefore, I better cover up, shouldn't I? Because what we're happening is a unilateral condemnation of what it is to be male.
Nathan.
Turning this around and looking at it from another aspect or another angle is the whole charity idea of this. And I don't know that much about the President's Club, but in some ways, if you look at it just as a money-raising thing, what they did is they went after an awful lot of money that was obviously out there and went after a particular bunch of rich people, mostly men. But these are the ones you hear about and have for years, you know, going to the restaurant and buying the $10,000 bottles of wine and, you know, the fancy cars and all of this and, you know, visible wealth. I mean, if you've got it, flaunt it. And these same people, fine, you convince them to give all that money to charity, and one of the ways you do it is in an event like this. And it may have been, and if it's been going on for 30 years, and assuming this year was not a totally different situation, I mean, I think it's very likely that the people who put this together, and like I say, whether it's a club which has a bunch of members or whether it is actually just an organization to raise money for charity, and they say, okay, where's the money? I mean, we want more money, and there are charity events, you know, in London or any major city with wealthy people all the time. Okay, we're looking for something different. Well, all these rich guys who flaunt their wealth and love spending huge amounts of money on all kinds of things, let's go after that money for charity. And I think to a great extent, that's what this was. And other people get invited to it who, you know, maybe have never gone to it before, have no idea of this other aspect to it, but that they're after a particular audience, and they obviously get it. I mean, they're, from what I've heard, you know, they're auctioning off, you know, the fancy sports cars, the huge, you know, very expensive, very visible, look at what I've got, kind of thing, which is not the normal way, but it's a money-raising thing. And then for the charities to turn around and say, oh, because it was done this way, well, we'll let these kids suffer, I think that is being, to some extent, hypocritical, except the charities who are accepting it, like, and the one mentioned here was Great Ormond Street, their problem, that, and it is a real problem, is they are looking not at just the million, however many million they were getting from this organization, from this charity, but if they may have decided not to take this because they were afraid on a money basis it was going to hurt other donations that they also count on.
We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. Sharon Alicante. They were made to sign a non-disclosure thing, which I didn't like very much. It's the secrecy of the whole thing, I think. Would Kate be prepared to work for a newspaper knowing that she was earning a damn sight less than men doing exactly the same job?
Well, I already do. And to be quite honest with you, I really can't be bothered to spend my time and a lot of women's time on this insistence of absolute equality. I agree. They should be paid the same. But what's happening is this word equality is being misused completely. The word equality, to have an equal society is an impossibility. Now, hang on, what we're doing, I think, at the moment is we are bending human nature to fit in with an ideology. And that is very, very dangerous because...
I agree with you, Kate, but do you not think that the suffragettes were fantastic people?
Yes.
They got you the vote.
Yes, the suffragettes. And I'm a second-wave feminist. I mean, Germaine Greer, they were wonderful. But what you have to look at in context, I mean, women in those times had no power whatsoever.
No,
in the
exactly.
60s and in the 50s, they had to be chased. Now, the point about it is, in this continuum of so-called rights and freedom, there is the possibility that this has been taken too far. Would you not agree that condemnation of what men do and this outrage of Me Too, I was groped at a party, surely, if...
Yes.
And they are also, what is known as porn-friendly. So
right,
I think it's hypocritical.
That was my next point, Kate. I do agree with you on the fact that sort of people are going a bit mad. I don't do social media. I won't have anything to do with it. But I think you're right. And that is the side of your argument that I agree with. That it has gone too far in that there's, as you say, that he touched my knee at a party and that there are not being a lot of these pieces that people aren't being taken to court to prove their point. I agree with you there. But sometimes, just sometimes, the pendulum has to swing too far in the other direction before things reach a nice equilibrium. And I think we're going to have to do a lot more fighting to get equal pay, and it's equal pay that I'm principally on about. We still have women footballers who, I think it's the English women's football team last year, did better than the English man's team, and look at the pay they're getting. And I just think it's wrong. It's plain wrong.
Sort of argument. I think the argument here is about women and their sexuality.
Yes.
And I think it's extremely hypocritical that women are saying how, you know, hostesses who agree to go to these events. Theresa May herself said, we've gone past objectifying women. Well, Theresa, we will always objectify women. We have done since
right,
the Egyptian
though.
Times when women wore beaded dresses, etc., etc. So it's this bending of human nature and totalitarianism that I personally am against, and I think it's frightening.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Sharon. Good points, well made. Nathan?
The one thing that I find difficult to understand is this idea of job equality. Now, some jobs are equal. If you are sitting there inputting information from paper into a computer and you have a man doing it and you have a woman doing it, I mean, that is equal work, and that is one thing. But when you get into jobs, careers, whatever, that no two people are doing exactly the same thing. And I mean, if you're talking about, you know, news correspondents or writers or anything else, to say that, and you pick one of the highest paid men and say, oh, well, this woman she's a correspondent too, so she should make the same amount of money.
Let me
just finish. How many men are also not making the same money as, you know, the top people in any business? It is not, you know, we are looking at this as if it is just a male-female differentiation. And in so many jobs, so many careers, it has very little to do with that. Because, you know, no other men are not making the same money either.
Well, can I just say that in the case of the BBC presenters, there are no examples of women making more. There are no examples in Hollywood either. The point is very clear that John Humphreys, who took the pay cut, Jeremy Vine, were paid a lot more for doing exactly the same jobs. There is no woman who is paid more than the man. So whilst I'm not sure that I would bother about it, that does not deny the truth of it and the validity of it as a fact. It's a fact.
It's a fact, but how many men are also
it
not...
It doesn't make any difference because there are no women who are paid more. That's the point.
I don't know whether that's...
Well, it is, because Jeremy Vine is paid $750,000 a year. He is a top pay. There are no women paid at that level, as well as John Humphreys. So this is the point of equality that women are talking about. I think they've almost reached equal pay. I think it is a fight that should end personally.
Well, I know maybe in the US more than in the UK, and you're talking about the BBC, which is kind of an anomaly anyway.
Excuse
me.
Well, I respect the feminist movement, and I think the old suffragettes were made huge historical progress, a lot more than modern feminism. However, I think in this day and age, there are issues that are not being talked about that are very controversial, but due to political correctness, they're not addressing terrible things that are happening in the UK and in Europe, which are much worse. There are honour killings, there's female genital mutilation, there's forced marriage, acid attacks, all these things happening in the UK, in France, in Spain. And it's usually, I don't like to generalise, but from radical Islamic people. And they're obviously a very small minority, but it's still happening. And there's been many honour killings in the UK. If I'm not wrong, there were over 10 honour killings last year. And of course, it's a controversial subject, but it also has to be addressed because people are that this is medieval. It's medieval and it's happening in the UK. This must be addressed also, like the Me Too movement.
We're going live to the lines there, 952-784-4000. Good morning, call you 11, Thierry. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Charles, Peter again.
Yes, Peter.
Yeah, this BBC business, is. Nathan has just touched on it. There's no two jobs the same. It's ridiculous to try and make them the same. And even if they do the same job, their pay would depend on clickbait, how many viewers they get, how much viewers they attract. There's a million different scenarios that you could factor into these people's jobs, and they're being paid on merit, nothing to do with equality, because equality can't come into it. And in my little world, in my straw poll, I find it fascinating that women seem to think that this woman who walked out of the BBC and came back because four men had to have their pay reduced, that she calls that success, whereas every man I speak to, and every woman I spoke to tends to agree with that, and every man I speak to would never return until that pay was brought up rather than the others brought down. So that, again, shows the differences. And briefly, Claudia just hit on exactly my thoughts. Having recently come back from the States and been up to Los Angeles, you get these multi-million dollar film stars talking about being touched at a party. You walk outside of their glad ragging and the red carpet, and the homelessness is unbelievable. And every woman on the street daily, 10 times a day, is facing abuse from men and other women, being asked for sexual favors just to try and survive. Now, where are the Hollywood stars for that? Why don't they start at the base and sort things out first down there, rather than worrying about someone touching them at a party 30 years ago when they were earning $15 million per movie. So to me, it's absolutely ridiculous, and we're being sucked in by the mainstream media, turning this into some sort of, as Sharon just mentioned, suffragette. You know, this is not Rosa Parks. This is not the suffragettes. This is spoiled rich people trying to get more clicks on their Instagram account. That's what it's about. I'll leave you on that, John. Thank you.
Talk Radio Europe. Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
You're listening to Live and Always Lively Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown. Joining me in the studio, Nathan Thomas, Kate Mulvey and Claire Latorre. Studio at tre.radio. The email 952784000 is the phone number. Talk Radio Europe official is the Facebook post. We go live to the lines. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, it's Jeff again. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
All right, Wilson.
Right, listen, the thing is... Man, it's just going crazy, isn't it? Somebody touching somebody's knee 30 years ago, okay, getting dragged over the coals. Do you not think there's a danger that in this new way of feminism, that there's a danger that women compromise that's most precious, and their power over men, really, which is their femininity? I don't know where all this is going, you know. I mean, everybody's getting the knickers in a twist. Well, you can't even say that anymore, which rather illustrates my point. Getting the knickers in a twist of silly things. And your gentleman on the panel brought out the fact that in the world, you know, there's real serious atrocities towards women. They're the serious points. But, you know, we're animals at the end of the day. Prehistoric times, men would go out and look after his woman and go get all the food and stuff, you know. We're animals. We think we're sophisticated, but we're not. When you look at mess we're making up world and planet, so really, it's all a bit silly, don't you think?
Indeed, we're all animals at the end of the day. 952-784-1000 is the phone number. We're going to the Facebook page. Richard says, no one watches women's darts. People need to stop being offended. No one has the right not to be offended. Meanwhile, on the emails, which is studio@tre.radio, the Chippendales and many other groups like them, this is Tim, it is these people, male or female, who are making a fortune at the expense of the rich, and good for them. And also on the, just let me check on the emails here, studio@tre.radio. This is from Peter saying, sometimes I disagree with Sharon, I sometimes strongly agree with her, but she's always passionate about her opinions. The email last week was out of order, and although I understood that she may seem to be on 3 or 4 times a week and have had her say on most topics, that has her prerogative. If someone is frustrated with it, with her answer, her arguments, do not attack the person. May she continue to phone in. Here at Viewpoint, we debate the positions and not the persons themselves. 952-784-1000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio. Talk Radio Europe official. You touched on a point there, and I remember when I was interviewing the head of the charity War Child around the time that Princess Diana was doing her, Diana Princess of Wales was doing her landmine campaign, and the fact that she was photographed famously, that iconic shot of her in the anti-landmine gear, the blast vest, and it raised an awful lot of profile for the charity, but people were saying she was only doing this for her own PR, if you were. And I asked the director of the charity of War Child, did he, you know, was he with objectionable to that point? And he said, listen, I don't really care where the focus and where the money is coming from. We need that focus. We need that money. Nathan?
I think that's 100% right. And I think, you know, it's a very difficult thing. And I understand the charities. And I think the one we've heard about is Great Ormond Street. I think the only reason they are saying no to this money, because otherwise, I mean, they've been taking the money from this. And people who are involved in the charity business, the charity circuit, say this President's Club banquet that has been apparently for 30-some years, everybody knew exactly what it was. It was no secret, I mean, from anybody who pays attention to those things. And it did raise a lot of money from a group of people who likes to flaunt their money, and okay, we'll flaunt it to charity. Whether Great Ormond Street now feels that, you know, that the association and taking that money is going to cost them more money. But getting back to what you said about maybe the reason that they, to finish my sentence, that they rejected this money, I don't know. That's a decision I'm sure they discussed and argued over. Is it better to, you know, take the money, use the money? It's millions of dollars. We need it. Getting over to what you said about Princess Diana, fine, it benefited her to do this. It certainly also benefited the charity. That's called win-win.
I think the problem is that when emotional hysteria is then mouth on the lips of Theresa May. Once it becomes authority, once Theresa May says this thing is stuck in the past, we must not objectify women. When the media starts using words like very disturbing and abuse, the charities follow suit, and this is what is really dangerous. And some of the people phoning in were talking about totalitarianism, and that's absolutely true. What happens on social media should stay on social media, but the problem is that newspapers who are desperate for a story, if anything goes viral, they pick it up, you get people commenting on it. This thing about the President's Club is, if we hadn't had Me Too, it would have been nothing. They wouldn't have sent a journalist in the first place. And it's the fact of the kind of follow-on effect and the fact that things gain momentum, but they gain validity. And that is a big problem, that somebody needs to stand up and say, you don't sack politicians because they go to a private party where what is going to happen is known to all. And that's what I think we need to pull back from.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Nathan Thomas, Kate Mulvey and Claudio De La Torre joining me on today's show, 952-784-4000, studio@tre.radio and the Facebook page Talk Radio Europe Official. Kate?
Yeah, I think the problem is this has reached hysterical proportions, and it's gained a validity that it shouldn't have gained. And I think what you need is for someone to stand up and actually say, we don't care about what happened. It was consensual. If these hostesses had a problem at any time, they could have left. Therefore, if one person stands up, it will stop this tide of outrage, which is really feeding on itself. The fact that you've got politicians standing up and being sacked is unprecedented and actually dangerous.
And do you think, I mean, this whole thing about they're talking about the women's darts thing, but they're now saying, you know, Formula One grid girls are under threat as well, as it's a throwback to a sexist past. And some people are claiming, oh, well, I didn't understand, you know, this was blocking women getting involved in sport because I thought the only reason that women got involved with sport was to be pretty little ornaments on the side of the main action.
But if you talk about this thing that is in the past, there is no such thing. It's not in the past. It's part of the natural order in that it has always been this way from the ancient Egyptians, where the women dressed up in beads and flaunted their assets. Sex sells. Women's prettiness sells. There is nothing wrong with it.
We've got a caller on the line, 952-784-4000. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. It's Carol from the Costa Blanca.
Good morning, Carol.
I agree with what she's saying totally. These girls chose free will. There was no guns at their heads. They chose to attend the party as a hostess. Lots of women and men do it. They do it for money. And as just mentioned, if you don't like what's going on, you can turn around and walk out.
So it's a question of free choice, then, you think, Carol?
Yes, yeah. You know, I drive to work along the N332 up here in Cayosa. And as I'm driving along, I see girls that are sitting at the side of the road touting sex, you know. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't necessarily agree with a 13-year-old or an 8-year-old being married off, you know. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with a 12-year-old who's becomes pregnant and dies. You know, these are shocking things. But there are women and men who tout sex. And what they do is they tout the sex and they get paid for it.
Okay, thanks very much for that one, Carol. 952-784-4000. Kate?
Yeah, they're not touting sex. The idea of a hostess, I mean, let's put it clear it up here. They're not working for McDonald's as a waitress. That's great. And the word hostess has an implication that they're there. After all, the spec was tall, thin and pretty, and they were issued a uniform and sent an email. Therefore, it is implicit there's going to be a bit more raunchy than flipping burgers. That is true. I, when I was younger, went to get a job as a hostess. I didn't realise what it was. When I went into the club, this was to save money up for a summer holiday, I realised straight away that it wasn't my thing, and I left. It made me feel uncomfortable. Now, if those girls don't feel uncomfortable, where they're being told to put on skimpy clothes, then they are quite willing to do it. Why shouldn't they? They probably get triple pay. What would you do? Spend a day in Burger King earning a pittance, or earn twice, three times the amount and have a bit of groping? They made the choice to do that. So I think really, it's, you know, it's up to them.
So there you have it. So with that statement from Kate, the options that are available, everybody's going in with their own free will. Coming up to the end of the first hour here on Viewpoint, any final thoughts? I will take a quick call in the last minute or so on Viewpoint. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate Costablanca.
Yes, Kate.
Just a quick word on just one thing. People have used the word choice. And in this, I want to support some of the things that Sharon has been saying much earlier. A lot of economic choice is not real choice. And I suspect that some of the people, sometimes you do work that you don't really like. You know, this is the economic reality, particularly in times of zero contract hours. Zero, you know what I mean.
Indeed.
Everyone's leaving that factor out. Second thing that I want to say is there's too much electric action on the impulse. I don't think politicians should have been sacked for being there. That seems to be absolutely ludicrous.
Right, then, thanks for that, Kate. International news at the top of the hour, then Spanish news, and back for a second half of a very lively Viewpoint. Back after the national news.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.